All right, it's that time, so let's go ahead and get started. I got a couple of announcements and prayer requests we want to make sure we make known, and then we'll move on with the rest of the service from there. Thank you for being back this evening, and Lord willing, we'll be able to be encouraged by what happens and continue to be encouraged as we worship our Savior. If you're coming in, go ahead and join us on this half of the room, so that way we can do that, and then that'll be good. A couple of announcements to keep up to date with. One, we made mention of this morning. New Sunday school classes will be starting up the new term on June 5th. And so with those Sunday school classes, this the class Dennis and Jack and Dave are teaching in Ephesians will continue to meet and continue working through Ephesians. And then the other Sunday school class will be down in the classroom across from the gym, and we're going to head back to the Old Testament and watch those videos. That's a video of Dr. Chris Miller teaching the Old Testament survey that he does at Cedarville. And they videotaped that, put that online. And so we've been benefiting from that. We made it through the Pentateuch before in part one. And part two, we're going to go ahead and pick up from there and continue on with that series. Another quick ministry announcement. I talked to Dave Huddle this morning. They are getting ready to move next weekend. So Saturday and Sunday, they're hoping to get moved from their house out here over to Minford, and they may need some help. So if you're available and willing and able to help with that, just call Dave. He didn't have a whole lot of details yet, but I told him I'd make it known, and he can give you kind of some direction and what he might need help with on Saturday and Sunday moving to their new house. Lord willing, they'll finalize everything, get their new house on Friday, and they want to move this weekend. So we want to make sure, if you're available, you can help out with that. A couple of prayer requests I want to draw your attention to. One, Pastor and Sherry, continue to pray for them this week. It'll be an intense week of counseling for them. And so we want to continue to pray for them, pray for the couples that they will be counseling, and pray that that's a time of the time that they just find to be, yes, it'll be draining, but encouraging as we see the Lord work in that couple's life, and Pastor and Sherry are able to continue to minister to them. I want to be praying for Ken Mantle's family. His dad passed away on Thursday. I believe it was Thursday. Services for that, there's a memorial service on Wednesday. Up in Brunswick there, so we want to make sure we continue to pray for him. Also, next week, summer staff will be coming in, and so we want to make sure that we pray for the staff, pray for the permanent staff, as they're going to spend the first week doing a lot of training, a lot of prepping to get the summer staff ready to go for camp that'll be starting up. And so we want to make sure that we continue to uplift them in prayer, pray for the summer staff that's coming in, They're going to be on the front lines in front of kids and impacting lives for eternity there in just a week or two. So we want to make sure that the Lord is preparing their hearts for the ministry that they have before them. Any other announcements or prayer requests we want to make known this morning or this evening before we move on to the rest of the service? Your niece. Casey has the cancer. Okay. Gotcha. They're doing surgery, you said? Or? Okay. Good. We'll be praying for Judy's niece. Any other ministry updates or things we want to be made known of? All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Kevin. Gracious Father, what amazing privilege it is to be a part of the family of God. What amazing privilege it is that we are able to walk this earth and make much of you. And Lord, you're so worthy of our praise because of who you are, because you are a great and mighty God who is holy, who is powerful, who is sovereign over all things, and you're also good and loving and merciful and just and righteous. And Lord, all of those things are true, and you deserve all of the praise. And in addition to that, you give us many blessings, and you pour out your grace upon us, and you orchestrate things in life to be able to allow us to be able to experience your goodness. And Lord, you provide opportunity for us to share the gospel. You provide us with a family to be able to be a part of in the local church, to do life with and to find hope and joy and satisfaction and purpose. And Lord, it's just so many blessings. And we look forward tonight to praising you for those. And Lord, I pray that this would just be a continuation of what we do on a day-to-day basis anyway. And I pray that you would just remind us tonight of how to worship you and to continue to point others to you in the way that we talk, the way that we act, the way that we sing, the way that we offer praise to you in our everyday. Lord, we pray for Ken Mantle and the family, his family, his siblings and mother, and as they're grieving the loss of his father. And I pray that you would just continue to meet them where they are. I pray that you would show yourself in a mighty way to his family and allow them to draw close to you during this time. Lord, we pray for camp staff as they continue to prepare for camp coming up next week. And Lord, we pray that you would be with summer staff, prepare their hearts for the ministry that you have before them. And I pray that you would just be with the permanent staff as they go through training the first week there, that you would allow them to continue to build into their lives and see the summer staff grow in their knowledge and in their walk with you, but also be prepared for the conversations and ministry before them. Lord, we pray for Pastor and Sherry, and we thank you for their willingness to continue to minister, to be a pastor of pastors. And Lord, I pray that you would allow them to have a fruitful time of ministry this week. Give them wisdom. Give them energy. Give them a joy that only comes from you in the midst of these difficult conversations and time that they're going to have with pastors and their wives, Lord. And I pray that you would show up in a mighty way. Allow them to see fruit of their labor and allow them to come away just excited about what you're doing in the lives of people that they're interacting with. Lord, we have many things weighing us down and on our hearts and minds, Lord, and I pray that you would just allow us to lift those and to bring those before you and to place them at your feet and walk faithfully following you. And I ask this all in your precious name. Amen.
Good evening. Great to see you all here. And I can almost see some of you in the back. That's good. That's more about my vision than where you're sitting. The pastor asked me to plan a time of praise and prayer. And I immediately thought of the acronym ACTS, ACTS. A stands for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, and S for supplication. And I don't know about you and how your prayers go, but if you're like most believers that I have met in my years, we're a little shorter on the ACT part, and we're heavy on the S. Because the supplication is the good part, right? That's where we get to ask God for what we want, what we need. We need to spend a little more time on the adoration, the confession, and the thanksgiving. And so we'll do that today, tonight. We will spend some time in prayer, in different types of prayer. And this is all dependent upon your participation beyond being here by actually praying out loud in different ways that I'll give instruction to. So I encourage you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you and then share, like we talked this morning. God has done so much for all of us. And we breathe in His grace and His mercy in our lives. And it's our responsibility to then breathe out and express and share all He's done for us. And so this will give us opportunity. We'll also read some scripture. And some of you have already volunteered to do that, and I appreciate that. And then we will sing. You knew we were going to sing because I'm up here, right? In fact, take your hymnal, if you would please, and turn to hymn number 10. And then when we're done with hymn number 10, don't put your hymnal away. Just keep it on your lap because we're going to be going to the hymnal quite frequently. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need." We heard why we can come to the throne in confidence. We have a Savior who has made a way. In the tabernacle, the high priest would once a year enter into the Holy of Holies to make atonement. And in order to do that, he had a ritual of consecration. He had certain things that he had to wear, certain things that he had to do, procedures that he had to do to lead up to entering the Holy of Holies. Well, thank the Lord. In fact, we'll probably hear about this as our pastor finishes the words of Christ on the cross. We'll hear about the veil that was torn in two and the access that we now have to the Holy of Holies. And it's not just access like you have access to a room that has a door. We're living in the Holy of Holies. We walk. We talk. We are in the Holy of Holies. And unfortunately, that sometimes has presented shall we say, a casualness in how we come before God to worship. We do it once, two, three times a week, and we just kind of, meander in, and we do our own thing, and we forget the holiness. We live in the Holy of Holies. We live before the presence of God. There's no scripture to support what I'm going to share with you, but there is, stories passed down through the years of they got to a point where they started to tie a cord to the high priest's leg, to his ankle, before he would go into the Holy of Holies. Because you just couldn't run in there. Because if he goes in there and he did not do things properly, he had not consecrated himself properly, and God kills him, who's going to go in and get the body? And so the story is, and again, it's just a story, but man, that's a good one. They would have that rope. So, and they had the bells tied around his garment, so it would jingle when he walked. And if they hear, they could pull him out of the Holy of Holies. Now, don't go building your life on that story. But we can make a great application, even if it's we don't find it in Scripture. How would our... you were all greeted as you came in, okay? You were greeted again probably before you came into this room. How would our demeanor change if while we were being greeted, someone knelt down and tied a rope to your ankle? Would that change anything? Would you feel the need to kneel in prayer? Would you feel the need to turn around and go back to the parking lot? And I just do that as an illustration of we come before a holy God who has done all these things for us. And we need to consider the reverence and what he requires of us in this place and in our lives. And then that doesn't change on Monday, because once again, this is not the Holy of Holies. That is, wherever you are, wherever you take the Holy Spirit that is indwelling in you, that is it. Let's sing together hymn number 10. Hymn number 10, O Worship the King. And let's stand to sing, and we'll sing all four stanzas. Thank you. You may be seated. And now would the person who has Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, please come and read.
Colossians 1:15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
Thank you. Now I'll let you in on a secret. All the songs that we ask you to sing, all the scriptures that we read together or someone reads to us, have a purpose. And that purpose is to help focus our hearts and minds on our great God. And hopefully these songs that we've sung tonight remind us of what God has done, who he is. This passage of scripture that was read, wow, one of the great passages about our Lord Jesus Christ and why he is worthy of our praise. So let's spend some time in prayer right now. And I'm going to ask that we do this in a little different way, perhaps. Sentence prayers. So you stand and you pray one sentence that praises God for one of his attributes or something. One sentence, then sit down, and someone else can stand up and praise him for something else. And we'll just wait a while, and when I say after you pray you can sit down, certainly feel free to pop back up. Because that's kind of how it goes. Someone says something, and you, oh yeah, and you want to get back up and do it. By all means, let's do that. Let's go to prayer, and after a bit I'll close.
Father, in this time in our country that can seem so chaotic, we praise you, Lord, in the knowledge that you are fully in control and are suffering no doubt or anxiety of any kind, that you have a plan and you love us and you continue to care for us. In Christ's name.
Father, thank you for your holiness, for your utter uniqueness. There is no one like you.
Father, we thank you for your providential care over us, that every hair on our head is numbered and you know every moment of every one of our days.
Father, you said we are saved by grace through faith, and we thank you for giving us that gift of faith to believe in your work.
Father, you are God, and we are in control. You created all the things in my life. We are created in everything, and we just thank you to show your faith, honor, praise, and glory. Father, we thank you for your unfailing love to us.
Father, thank you for your irresistible grace that calls us to you even when we wouldn't come.
Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word and showing us a picture of who you are so we can worship you
I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live.
Father, we thank you that you described yourself as I am.
We can come to you because you are everything we need. We thank you and praise you. Amen. After our time of adoration is a time of confession. Would the person who has 1 Chronicles 21 come up and read? This is a little background, is from the story of when David, despite the command of God not to do a census, guess what he did? Aren't you glad you're not like David? When God tells you, don't do this, you don't run out and do this? Oh, whoops, we are, aren't we? Sorry.
1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 11 through 13. So Gad came to David and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, choose what you will, either 3 years of famine or 3 months of devastation by your foes, while the sword of your enemies overtakes you, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, pestilence on the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now decide what answer I shall return to him who sent me." Then David said to Gad, "I am in great distress. Let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man."
If you're anything like me, you rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. And you go about your life enjoying it, celebrating, giving him praise and thanksgiving. And then every once in a while, you sin. And you go, sorry, 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 and go about your life. And we forget how seriously God looks upon sin. Seriously enough that he sent his son to the cross. Seriously enough that he gave David 3 awful choices. But David made the best choice, I think. Let me fall into the hands of a merciful God. Well, in our confessions, we have a song in your hymnal at 438. That where the songwriter is pleading, praying to God, cleanse me. Number 438, let's sing just the first stanza and then leave that open, to that hymnal open to that hymn, because we're going to come back and do a couple more stanzas. Search me, O God.
Bible.
Take your Bible and look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And we're going to spend some quiet time while you read and spend some time in prayers of confession, silently to yourself. Use Psalm 51, David's great prayer for cleansing, as a guide. We come to you, Father, in need of your mercy. We confess that we have sinned against you, sinned in thought, in word, and in deed, by what we have done and also by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, please forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. The great thing about confession is that promise we have in 1 John 1:9. You remember that one? Can you say it with me? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's sing stanzas 2 and 3 of that hymn, Cleanse Me. Stanzas 2 and 3. Confession. Usually in a corporate time of confession, sometimes it's just a mere prompting of what needs to take place after we go home. So feel free to take any of this home with you. Next is Thanksgiving. And you know that we have so much to be thankful for. David writes in my favorite psalm, Psalm 100. He ends with, "For the Lord is good." He's giving instruction on how to approach the Lord in worship. And last but not least is this last verse. One reason we come to him for worship is the Lord is good. That alone is enough for worship. Not only is he good, his steadfast love endures forever. You're not going to outlive God's love. And his faithfulness to all generations. As he was faithful to David so many centuries ago, he is faithful to us. He will be faithful beyond. In Psalm 92, David writes, "It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night." I always wondered why the steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. I guess that's a great way to spend your day. You claim God's love in the morning as you go out to live for him. And then when you come home and you're ready to go to bed, you can stop and review. How is God faithful today? For my Sunday school class members, every Sunday we had a question. Anybody remember what it was? How have you seen God at work this week? And of course, the question is never, how many of you think God was at work this week? We all know from scriptures we've read, from our past experience, God is at work every moment of every day, everywhere. The only question is, was I alert enough to notice? And am I now going to stop and give him praise? Well, we have a wonderful God who is working all around us. I'm going to call us to prayer, and I'm going to ask you to pray Thanksgiving prayers for what he has done, for his faithfulness, for whatever he has been doing in your life. And I'm going to ask that you just stand and pray. And I'm not going to limit you to a sentence or even a paragraph. If you'd like to stand and give God praise, this is your opportunity.
Lord, I thank you that I can get up on Sunday morning and have a place where I can go and be with the people of God, and it's not superficial. It's people that love you,
you in their lives. And there are so many that are struggling and that are seeing struggle. And we have such a blessing here. I thank you for our pastor that comes and for years he's loved your word and he's proclaimed your word. I thank you for the brothers and sisters that have been faithful to serve you as examples, Lord, and your grace and mercy has shown through them. We thank you, Lord, today. I thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ, and I thank you for your expression of it here in this place. We thank you for the wonderful work you're doing, for the unity that we have, for the blessing of the Spirit of God, for the richness of the Word of God that's being taught and preached every week. You have truly given us so much, and we thank you.
Father, I thank you for your Word, the promises that we find there. Promises that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you will provide all that we need. Now, as we do our daily chores, going to work, going to the grocery store, going to buy gas, we are so mindful of what seems to be a topsy-turvy world and makes us wonder what the future holds. But Father, we can thank you that we have a confidence in you. We don't have to have a confidence in this world or what's going on. Our confidence is you and your promise to us. I thank you for that and the assurance that it gives us. Let's take your hymnal, please, and turn to hymn 58. Every once in a while in my reading, I like to, of God's Word, I like to switch translations, and even though the Message is not a technical translation, it is a version that can really challenge you and make some scriptures come to life. And one of Eugene Peterson's quotes from one of the Psalms, and unfortunately I don't remember which one, is that the psalmist says, I am living. The world, this world is a collection of God wonders and God thoughts. Wow. How true. Instead of viewing the world as, oh my, what's going to come crashing down on us this week? No. That world is a storehouse of God thoughts and God wonders. And we can go boldly into that because we know God. He loves us and he's promised to care for us. Now that might change an attitude, right? To look at that world out there as a storehouse of God thoughts and God wonders. Well, let's sing together number 58, This Is My Father's World.
This is my father's.
the next part is our favorite. Supplication, where we bring our requests before the Lord. And I'm old enough to have sat through a lot of prayer meetings, and I've heard a lot of supplications and prayers, prayer requests. I've also read a lot of prayers in Scripture, as Paul, in particular, prays for other believers. And so I've asked a couple of folks to read a couple of Paul's prayers or excerpts from his prayer to give us thought about how we should pray for one another. Okay, the illness is important. We find evidence of Paul being concerned about the health. In early on in his ministry, he healed people. Later on, he was leaving people because they were ill and asked people to pray for them. So that is important. But there are other things that he spent his time praying. So I'm going to ask you to take your copy of God's Word and turn first to Colossians 1, Colossians chapter 1, and beginning with verse 9. And whoever was going to read that, if you would come and read that for us while everyone else has it in front of them.
Colossians 1, 9 through 12. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light.
Now turn back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 9.
And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Imagine. If when you prayed for one another, you prayed for me and I prayed for you, if we prayed for those things in each other's lives. Those things are certainly what God desires, what the Holy Spirit is trying to bring about in us, and what we are all trying to be obedient and reflect in our lives. There's not one of us who say, I don't need any of that. No, we desire that. Well, let's pray that for one another. Instead of, boy, I hope Matt has a good day. Well, we all hope Matt has a good day. But more importantly, how is Matt going to have a good day if God strengthens him in his might and he's filled with the hope of glory? Let's pray that. As we go to prayer now, I'm going to call out some things. And I want you in prayer to call a name that fits that category. Okay? Let's try that. Father, we come to you knowing that you desire to hear our prayer, that you desire the best for all of us. And that best is to relinquish our will
to not be conformed to the world, but let your Holy Spirit and your word transform us, renew our minds, clean us, and make us so that we seek your will and that we worship you with our entire being, 24 hours a day, every day of the week. But Father, we have concerns. We live in this sinful world, and sin has impacted. And we have folks here who have lost loved ones. And we lift those folks to you now. So just call out a name of someone who is grieving over a loss.
Ken, Bruce.
Jim and Paul, another Jim.
Father, you know the ravages of this world on our bodies, and we know that we have many friends and family members who are ill this day. We lift them up to you.
Reshma, Jennifer,
Nam,
Casey, Mitchell,
Sarah,
Bill.
Father, we recognized our graduates this morning, and these young people, at whatever level, have a lot of decisions in front of them, and so we lift them up.
Jill, Michaela,
Isaac, Sabrina, Emma,
fortunate to have so many in our body that love you and study your word and are busy discipling people in our church through Sunday school, vacation Bible school, children's church, so many ministry areas. We lift them up that you will give them strength, give them discernment, give them wisdom as they teach here in our church. We lift them up to you.
Caleb, Hannah, and Debbie,
Douglas, Lacey.
Sure.
Brett.
I'm thankful that our ministry goes beyond Scioto County, and we can support and pray for missionaries that are across the globe, some with very unique situations right now, who need assurance of your protection and care, and assurance that their ministry is not in vain. Even though they may be just planting seeds in your plan, give them confidence. Give them hope. We lift them to you.
Paul and Captain.
You're welcome.
Is bigger than Scioto County. We see it all over the television, all the alerts that pop up on our phone about what is going on somewhere in this world. So we lift up world leaders, countries, and we thank you that we know, even as we lift them up, we know that they are in your hand. You are in control. We lift these countries and leaders to you. To someone who is interested but does not have the power to do anything about it. And we rejoice that you are the I Am, the great I Am, the God of the universe, the creator and sustainer of all, the one who holds the king's heart in his hand. We thank you and praise you that we come to you. And yet, with all that power and majesty, you call us friend. And you have died for us, that we might be your children. We thank you. Amen. Take your hymnal, please, and let's sing 435, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. This will be our closing song, so let's stand to sing number 435, just the first and the second stanzas, please.
the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.